Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the September 11th, 2008 edition of Rubber Guard Radio. I'm your host, KZ. This episode of Rubber Guard Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, FogCityWrestling.com. Check out Fog City, see what's coming up in the future. And also my other sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com. You can get Lucha Libre DVDs, T-shirts, masks, SoCal Pro Wrestling DVDs. I suggest any show from 2008. You get to see Adam Pearce, who works completely different than what he does in ROH. Also, they put out two new shoot interviews. The first one's with the Ballard Brothers. It's about 2.5 hour shoot, and the second disc has a best of the Ballards in SoCal Pro Wrestling. Some pretty good stuff there. And the other shoot interview is with the Natural One, Michael Modest, which is 2 hours and 45 minutes of just fucking wacky shit. Yeah, WrestleWarehouse.com. I have on the line my guest for the evening, the F4WOnline.com's, WrestlingObserver.com's, audio guru, Chris Couturier. What's up, Couturier? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. What's going on?
Oh, man, just got back from a back-to-school night for my my 8-year-old. You know, third grade's fun. Yeah, hence
cool.
Hence the late starting time. Just so the listeners know, we're going to have open phone lines for at least an hour. Area code 347-215-7946. Once again, 347-215-7946 if you want to call in. Call in. We're going to be discussing the art of the shoot interview. Well, let's start off from the top. What's the worst shoot interview you've ever seen or heard, and why?
The worst I've ever seen or heard is probably the Terry Gordy shoot interview, for obvious reasons.
It was so sad. It was so, it was just so out of it, and
it's like every answer was that was great. Yeah, those were great times, and I understand why he said. I mean, why he's like that, but I mean, still, it's sad to see.
Yeah. Same. The Superfly Snuka was bad. Yeah,
but I never saw that.
Yeah, brother. Don't waste your time. Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. It's like an hour of 20 minutes of yeah, brother. But, you know, the Doctor of Style, Slick, takes the cake, man. He fell asleep during a shoot. That was funny as hell. They're sitting there asking him questions, and he's dozing off. You know, he wasn't snoring, but he was dozing off, sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious, man.
And also, not because of any questions that were asked, but that first Shane Douglas shoot interview was just horrible.
Oh, the one where they were in the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was like one big promo, you know, for ECW. That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, they were the franchise with Francine, with the champagne in the swimming pool and shit. And I was like, dude, you know, it's supposed to be a shoot. You know, this is a fucking worked promo to get your gimmick over. You know, it's bullshit.
Well, I enjoyed it because they put all the old I hadn't seen much ECW at that time when it came out, so they had a bunch of the old stuff with him in it. So that's about all I liked out of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's kind of a shame of what's missing from the RF shoots now. They can't put the matches in there.
Yeah.
But High Spots tends to do it because usually what they do is when they bring someone in, they do a shoot, and they also, you know, book them for a match in a local indie so they could put that match on the shoot, which I think is a pretty good idea. RF's not going to be able to do that because he doesn't have a promotion. But
yeah.
Now, the hot topic of conversation seems to be the Kurt Angle shoot interview from RFvideo.com.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to listen to it?
Yes.
What did you think, and do you think he was honest?
I think he was honest. I haven't heard him. He sounded different than he sounded in the last 2 years, ever since he left WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because in other interviews, he just, I mean, he'd blast guys like Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Vince, and he was kind of into ass-kissing mode here, too. So.
Well, you remember the Observer Live that he was on right after he got released.
Oh, God, yes, that was horrible.
You know, he was just a mile a minute, and he was high as a kite while doing that. He had to have been. I mean, he was.
Anybody that thinks that the top 10 WWE matches of all time have him in it, you got problems.
Well, I could probably pick one.
I could probably pick one. I can't pick 10. He said if he could pick the 10 best matches in WWE history, I'm probably in all of them.
No. Well, what would that one match be for you?
Him and Shawn Michaels. No, him and Chris Benoit. I take that back. At the Rumble.
The Ultimate Submission?
No, it was just the WWE title match. There's one where Benoit got a standing ovation right at the end of it. I think it was in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
It was in early January of 2003.
Okay. Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. Yeah, that was some good stuff. As far as the Kurt shoot, do you think that, you know, he was honest? And, you know, do you think that he avoided any questions? I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
I think he was honest just because it's different from what we've heard from him for the last couple of years. He sounded like he was being real. And mm-hmm. And what I heard, that's what he sounded like, he was being real.
Yeah, unlike his book.
I never read the book.
Oh, God. It's bad.
I think when Kurt left WWE, he, I don't know, maybe he didn't. WWE is the only place he's ever wrestled, and he's not used to jumping from one company to another. So, I don't know, maybe he don't know how to act or some shit like that. I don't know.
So, High Spots has signed a deal to do multiple shoot interviews with Ric Flair.
Yes.
That's going to be fun.
They just did it. They started yesterday morning, I believe. Yeah, yesterday morning, because I read a report on it today.
I wonder how many volumes they're going to be able to do.
It's going to be 10 hours, I know that. And they had some of the guys from, you know, the what's the website? Mid-Atlantic Gateway?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they got some of them to do the questions for, like, the real, real early stuff when he was in Mid-Atlantic and stuff like that. And so they went through all that stuff, and they went through all the stuff with his childhood and the stuff with Vern and all of that. And they were getting to like 80. They ended in 1984, and the next is going to be 85 to 89, which is probably the stuff I'd probably like to hear the most.
Wow. Well, that's good. You know, I mean, it's going to take a pretty penny for them to do it, but they'll make their money. You know, at least break even. And to be honest, I don't think High Spots and Mike, they're doing it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the stories need to be told. You know, just the stuff needs to be heard. And, you know, just like, you know, when my partner and myself, we did the Mike Modest shoot, it wasn't just because to do a shoot.
Yes.
Yeah. Mike is a hell of a storyteller. You know, he's a great guy, too, and he's a hell of a worker. And, you know, he just had so many stories, and, you know, he had to answer for some things, too. It's just these things needed to be spoken about, and he never really had the platform to talk about the NBC Exposed, the Beyond the Mat, and all the other shit that he went through.
Yeah, I never knew about the NBC stuff. That's the first time I ever heard that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of got – when was that, in 99? 98,
yeah.
I was kind of late getting into the whole internet, wrestling on the internet thing. I didn't get into it on 99, so I'd never heard that story. I mean, I knew what Special was talking about because I've always heard people talk about the Stump Granny and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I didn't know that story about him.
Yeah.
I knew the stuff from Beyond the Mat when that came out.
Well, see, I knew of all the guys that played all the characters except for the one, which was Brent Albright. And Mike yanked him out of the closet. He's all, yeah, everybody that did it got heat except for Brent because no one knew it was him. So he outed him. I was like, oh, hey. You know,
at this point in time, I doubt it really matters, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter now. I mean, 10 years later.
Yeah.
You know, it's really not going to
matter. I wonder if they're, I guess the shoot's going to have Ric Flair sitting there with a big black eye, huh?
Yeah, that's funny.
Let's say he wore sunglasses or something.
Like
I saw that eye, and that shit, he looked like been pistol whipped or some shit like that.
Horrible. Once again, for those that are listening, we are taking calls 347-215-7946. We'll be going about an hour, maybe a little later, depending on how the discussion goes. So, what's your favorite shoot that you've ever seen or heard? And why?
Probably Tully Blanchard, because it was the first one I ever got. And plus, I'm a mark for all that old NWA shit. And,
oh,
you know,
we all, baby.
And, I mean, stuff like him and Barry Windham and J.J. Dillon, those are all my favorite shit interviews. Even Arn Anderson, even though he kayfabed a little. But I got to hear him talk for 3 hours, so.
There you go. Yeah, the Barry one's really good. I watch that one at least once a month. That's
he's probably my favorite wrestler of all time, so.
Really?
Yeah, yes.
He's in my top 10. Yeah.
He's in my top 5, I'd say.
I can't give you 1 through 10, but he's in my top 10. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
There's 10 guys, I just can't, you know, give them numbers, but he's in my top 10.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's a babyface or it's a heel, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, he's just awesome. Yeah, that Barry Windham one was really long. It's like 4 hours. But, yeah, it was good. You know, I'm surprised that no one's done one with Kendall Windham.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about some of these shoot interviews. They sometimes get guys that you don't know if they're going to be interesting, and they end up being usually the most interesting guys to interview.
Yeah, I'm really surprised they haven't gotten Kendall. Also, Iceman King Parsons is another one.
Yeah.
That, you know, needs to do
well. I always love the world class, guys from world class. They get the best stories.
Let's talk about it. Buddy Roberts. Well, Buddy Jack?
I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Okay. Yeah, that one was fun. I'm at the RF Video site now, and their new releases are Shoot with Scott Hall Part 2, which should be fun. Shoot with Pretty Boy Doug Summers, who's been a guest on my show before. That should be really good.
I saw a preview for that on YouTube the other day.
And Shoot with Brian Clark, Adam Baum. That should be fun as well.
See, he's a guy you wouldn't expect to have. I mean, you wouldn't expect much from him. He probably got a shitload of good stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to see, you know, I want to see how he got to Smoky Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he got to Smoky, then he went to WCW, and then off to, as Adam Baum. So, you know, I kind of want to see, you know, how he got to Smoky and how he broke in and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would be, that'd be pretty cool. Let's talk about the kayfabe commentary stuff, the U-shoots. What do you think of the U-shoot concept?
I like it. What was the first one I heard? Honky Tonk Man. He was the first one they did. I think he was the best one, too. And I listened to the Sandman. I didn't really care much for that just because I've heard Sandman so much, and it's basically the same stuff over and over. So I wasn't, but I like the concept of it. It's real good.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the concept too. It's pretty cool. How about the guest booker? I loved it. The Kevin Sullivan one was great, where he booked 1984 WWF without Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
That was brilliant. The Greg Gagne one was just awesome too.
Yeah.
Plus the, you know, you got to hear the actual story behind, you know, Vince trying to buy the AWA. You know, I never really got the straight scoop on that. But
mm-hmm.
That was good. Which was your favorite guest booker?
Probably Greg Gagne. Just because that's the stuff I grew up on, you know, in that era, so I'm gonna be more interested in it. Plus it's a story I've never heard. I mean, we all know what Pro Wrestling USA was, but we really never knew the ins and outs of it, but he did a good job.
Yeah. So what was the one shoot that the interviewer was just completely the shits?
Have you seen the Spike Dudley shoot interview?
Yeah, that was bad, too.
That's terrible.
Spike just didn't want to be there.
And plus, like, the person asking the questions, you know, you can tell when somebody's reading. You know, you can tell that. Somebody's just reading the questions because they have to read the questions. Like, the example, because I know you know the story, but the stuff with Mike Lockwood when they was working for ECW and all that stuff with Taz and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what they phrased it, they asked him, what was the story with Aaron on the ring crew? Which is talking about Aaron O'Grady, who's Mike Lockwood. And he doesn't even remember what he's talking about, and the guy just moves on. I think you need to know the history behind the question you're asking.
Well,
some of these guys don't.
You should know the history behind who you're interviewing.
You should know the answers to everything you're asking, pretty much. You know, I mean, you just need to know the history of it so you can. Because most of these guys, they don't remember everything like we do. So you have to jog their memories a little bit and have know all the details of what you're asking, and they didn't know it. And Spike is looking at them like they were stupid and. And they didn't know what else to say, so they just moved on. It's kind of embarrassing.
It's bad. You know, and the thing is, Spike broke in with Crash.
Yeah.
With Mikey. So, you know, they broke in together, you know, and they, you know, were roommates, too, for a while. So, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was an important part. You know, they really didn't get into his training or anything, and, you know, it was really disappointing, especially because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of the stories, and, you know, that's a lot of good shit that they could have talked about, and they just had no clue. You know, and, you know, the hell with that fucking jackass that did it. Mike's an idiot for having him do it. But, and, you know, Spike was kind of turned off because he was like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, he was completely, like, out of it.
He was really, well, it was like right after he got released, I believe. And he was still pretty bitter about it. And, I mean, I heard a recent interview with him. It's like night and day between how he sounded all the way back then and how he sounds today. He just comes off much better today.
I have to agree.
Another one is, you saw the Scott Steiner shoot interview, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, they asked him a question like, when he first came into the NWA and he and Rick were feuding with the Varsity Club, and Stein's acting like, we never feuded with those guys. They said, are you sure? And yeah, he said, yeah, I'm sure. And so they just moved on. But if they knew the history behind the question they were asking, they'd know that they feuded with Mike Rotunda and Kevin Sullivan, and they weren't the Varsity Club. If they had given them the names of the two guys they feuded with, he would have known what they were talking about.
Exactly.
It's just shit like that.
Yeah, it really bothers me because, I mean, you know, these guys come in the offices or they go to hotels or whatever. You know, they accept the payday. They expose the business, you know, and at least these jackasses can, you know, have the common decency, you know, to at least do a little bit of research. At least, you know, when Brian Alvarez has people on the Figure Four dailies, at least he looks on Wikipedia. I mean,
well, fuck, if you got a, if you got a computer, if you got an internet connection, there's no excuse at all.
Exactly.
You can find tons of shit on the internet, so.
That's right. Whether it's true or false, I mean, if it's false, then they could prove it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or be corrected or whatever. At least, you know, they're in the general vicinity, you know, somewhere to, you know, at least, you know, be able to give a decent interview. Not to put myself over anything, but when I did the shoot with Modest, after, you know, we were changing the second tape, and, you know, we went outside and, you know, partaked in a little bit of the gimmick, and he's all, hey, brother, where are your notes? I said, Michael, as far as your career is concerned, brother, I don't need notes. You know, because he's that, you know, everybody has that one guy, you know, that one wrestler, you know, and I'm like, brother, you were mine. And, you know, ever since I first saw you, I tried to see as much of you on tape, you know, as much research as I can, you know, so this was all off the head. You know, he's all, wow, no notes? You do a pretty good job. I said, well, thanks, you know. And, you know, he took it as a, you know, a sign of respect, you know, because I knew my shit.
That
and
he's being interviewed by somebody that wants to listen to him.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I mean, some guys, they don't seem like they, some people don't seem like they really want to be there interviewing the person.
Well, sometimes it seems like the guys aren't comfortable, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've known Mike since 97. You know, we go back, what, 11 years? You know, and, you know, we've spent a good amount of time together in that time span. And, you know, we know each other and we were really comfortable. And you can tell that, you know,
mm-hmm.
by watching or listening to it. You know, there's that comfort. It's like two guys just sitting there have a conversation as opposed to like trying, you know, pulling teeth with people. There's some, you know, some interviews where it's like the interviewer is asking questions and the worker's just, whatever, you know, there's like no connection.
Yeah.
You know, like the Jerry Jarrett shoot, perfect example. Sean the Mick from the DOI conducted the shoot because I guess Rob was sick or something, and it was horrendous. It was horrendous. I mean, Jesus, this is one of the biggest shoots ever with Jerry fucking Jarrett. And this guy
first
all
shoot
over
ever.
The place.
First
I mean,
one ever with him.
This guy was all over the place. He had no clue. You know, this kid probably wasn't even alive in Jerry's heyday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, fuck. But, you know, that's a bad thing that, you know, Doug Gentry passed away. Because Doug would have rocked that interview.
Yeah.
You know, in at least two parts. And I'll tell you, some of the RF video product, as far as the shoot interviews, have gone downhill since Doug has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, there's a, I forget what that one jackass's name is, but he sucks. And then Sean the Mick is horrible. But Joe Gargiola and Rob Feinstein are really good as far as interviewing.
Eric?
The other
Eric,
two are.
Is that who you're talking about?
Excuse me?
Eric Gargiola, is that who you meant to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he was on all the early ones.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He's good. He's a good commentator, too.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He was the one bright spot of the CZW product, I must say. But that's a whole different show. Once again, we are taking calls, 347-215-7946. What the hell? I'll give away some DVDs. I have 7 DVDs from Elite Pro Wrestling from Chicago. 6 volumes of their TV, and then there's a full show. EliteProWrestling.com. They have TV in the Chicagoland area, channel 13, 10 p.m. Comcast on Friday nights. And you can also see their TV show streaming on their website after 10 p.m. on Fridays. That's Central Time. They upload it. Now you'll have to answer this trivia question. It is shoot interview related. Who conducted the first ever official shoot interview, and who was it with? Once again, who conducted the first ever official shoot interview, and who was it with? I say official because there was a shoot interview. It was kind of with Bruiser Brody. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. Like the one that's like 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it's him in a TV studio and stuff.
Yeah.
That was fun. I like that. But, you know, the first...
If he was still alive, he'd be a hell of a shoot interview.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah.
Another shitty shoot interview I was thought of. Did you see the Smart Mark Virgil shoot?
Oh.
That guy was a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he was. He was a goof. Yeah, that was God. So bad. He is such a prick.
After what happened at the beginning, I really didn't feel like listening to the rest of it, but I went ahead and did, and it was okay when they got into the interview, but at the beginning, he was just a fucking prick. God.
Yeah, he was just a goof. You know who needs to do a shoot interview is from St. Louis, Larry Matisic.
Yes.
He needs to do a shoot. I think that would be fun, just to sit down, you know. I mean, sure, we get some here and there on Observer Live and Figure Four Daily or whatever, but, I mean, I just want to, you know, sit there, and I would love to conduct it. I would love
mm-hmm.
to. I could probably go 3+ hours with Larry, just because, you know, he saw everything from St. Louis. You know, I mean, he was hands-on. You know, everybody came through. Yeah, so the trivia question is, who conducted the first official shoot interview, and who was it with? Area code 347-215-7946. I would love to send you the 7 Elite Pro DVDs. There's a bunch of cool guys on there. There's the Iron Saints, Sal and Vito Tomaselli, Brandon Tomaselli. Those that watch Chikara, the Soul Touches are also on there. You see, from Milwaukee, there's Dysfunction. There's a bunch of different guys. Aria Davari, Sean's younger brother. It's a pretty good product. The TV's pretty slick, too. So definitely worth, you know, checking out. So call in, man. I want to give these discs away.
Speaking of Larry Matisic, I watched I'd never seen that Wrestling at the Chase TV show before. And I was watching, I saw a clip the other day. And they had Al Snow on there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he was wrestling back then. I think Al Snow, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, that was like right after he broke in, right after he came back from the Crockett's.
Uh-huh.
After, you know, he got his money taken by the Andersons, and he came back here, or back to Ohio, and trained with Jim Lancaster. So I guess he may have went on a road trip with Jim Lancaster or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's trippy. Oh. Well, you mentioned him. Al Snow has done a Secrets of the Ring with ROH. He's done 2 shoots with RF, one in 97, which was when he was in ECW, and then the one in 2008, which was just brilliant after his WWE release. I'm a huge Al Snow mark, and it's no surprise, and you know people know. Like, I had Al on my show for 2+ hours, and that was just a kid in a candy store. What do you think of the Al Snow shoots?
I really enjoyed the last one he did with RF Video.
Yep.
I learned a lot of shit I didn't know and shit I didn't even think about. Just in the nature of the business and why guys do what they do and shit like that. But it was really entertaining.
Yeah, that was fun. Each shoot, you know, they each, you know, served their purpose. The Secrets of the Ring was, you know, the entire Ring of Honor wrestling school class was behind the camera.
Oh, really?
We were filming it. Yeah, it was a seminar, and I was just preaching and schooling. First one was just hilarious, man. It had a lot of road stories. His ECW stuff, which was really good. You know, he was just catching his stride there. It was fun.
And his demeanor in the first one, as opposed to the most recent one, was just like a completely opposite. You know, like towards WWF and shit like that.
Mhm. Yeah, he just, you know, and he closed all the gaps and everything in the last one, and you know, he finally, you know, matured as a person and as a worker, you know, and he finally figured it out. You know, he finally figured out the business,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
I had to disagree with him about the head and shoulders thing. I love that thing.
Oh, it's a brilliant finish. But though I still love that finish. It's brilliant. But he didn't work the match properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was right about that. You know, he should have been trying to make the hot tag to the head. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I get off the air, I'm going to have to watch King of the Ring 98. You know, that pay-per-view was great also, you know, not just because of the Foley match.
Yeah.
The Al Snow head against Too Cool was just brilliant stuff. I mean, you know, Al Snow's ECW run was just brilliant, and then when
he had about 4 years in WWE. He was just doing. I just thought, like all the shit with his character. I thought all that shit was awesome for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's that or the team with Foley, head cheese mm-hmm. and shit like that. I like all that shit.
Yeah, he was. Well, Al's are again in my top 10. You know, he was just a brilliant worker, and you know, he was doing the shit before he went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him and Sabu had some classic matches in the Indies. I mean,
yeah.
Classic stuff that was really ahead
the first,
of the time.
I think the first time ever, first I heard of him was when he came over. I think he did the Super Bowl of wrestling with Smoky Mountain. Do you remember that?
With Marty. Yeah, with Marty.
Yeah. And then he came in and they did stuff with him and Glenn Jacobs as a team, which I thought was great. When they did the imitations of the Rock and Roll Express and shit like that.
Oh, those promos were great. Yeah, that was good stuff. And, I mean, this stuff was before that, you know, where him and Sabu, they had a ladder match. I forget what town it was in, but it was in Detroit. You can get the tape. I forget. It's on one of the Sabu tapes that are at Video Cells, but it was just a brilliant match, and it was, you know, it was before Michaels and Razor did theirs.
Yeah.
You know, they were just doing insane shit, you know, and, you know, they were just like, you know, we're trying to, you know, catch a break here, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they really, you know, when I had Al on my show, I really put him over because, you know, in 93, 92, 93, 94, no one saw that shit. And that was, you know, the ECW before, you know, the modernized ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just really good stuff. And, you know, there was a handful in that group. It was Benoit, Scorpio, Snow, Funk, Too Cold, and Sabu. And it was those six, and they were interchangeable. Where they, you know, one guy could work the other, or, you know, they were just interchangeable in the matches, and you knew they were going to be good because they were all damn good workers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really good time.
I remember the match with Benoit from the arena.
Oh yeah.
ECW arena. That was
that
a great
was,
match.
Double tables, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was it because Benoit wrestled in the double tables match, didn't he?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but, yeah.
It was double tables. No, he did not wrestle in the double tables match. He interfered.
Oh, okay, that's right.
And he did the super bomb on Sabu.
That was Sabu and Taz against Public Enemy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That was Al's second match in ECW. His first match in ECW was against Taz, It was in a high school in the Philadelphia area that Rob Feinstein promoted under the UCW banner. And Paulie said that Rob could, you know, book pretty much whoever he wanted, you know, within reason. And he's all, there's this guy out there in the Midwest, you know, because Sabu's been putting him over and everything, and he's been seeing tapes. He's all this Al Snow guy. So they bring him in, and he works Taz, you know, and he made an impression. And then, you know, he showed up in the arena, and the rest is pretty much history.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've seen as much Al Snow footage as humanly possible. You know, and that shit from 92, 93, 94, it still stands this test of time. I mean, and, you know, he's a brilliant worker, and I can't wait for him to come back out out on the West Coast. I'd love to see him again. Well, actually,
speaking of, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'll follow your lead, Chris.
I was going to say, speaking of Taz, the RF shoot interview with him was also one of my favorite ones. Did you ever see that?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I've seen both versions. The original version, which was two tapes, which was like 8 hours or something.
Yeah.
Or 6-7 hours. And with matches and everything, they had this, his match from Wing against Gypsy Joe, all kinds of different
they had
shit.
Some, I think they had some of his Pancrase stuff on there. But didn't he do some fights there?
I don't remember offhand. But
I know he was in some kind of MMA style match on there. It was from Japan. I think it was Pancrase.
It was a worked shoot.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. They had the match where he broke his neck in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was good. I loved that. And I've seen the remastered version where they had to remove the matches because Vince owns everything.
Mm-hmm.
When it was just the shoot, that was really good. The shoot was good. But I enjoyed it more when they put the matches in because it's more of a reference. You know, they're talking about, hey, this is where I broke my neck, so they show the match.
Yeah, that's what I liked about all the old ones.
And, you know, I was really surprised that he didn't bury Mike Lockwood too much. You know, because they really had heat. You know, I mean, that was some big-time heat. You know, and I'm really surprised he didn't bury him too much. So
he also, at the time I first saw that, he still had that awesome character that they came up with in ECW. So it was weird seeing him like that, just like subdued and just like shooting the shit and stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go out of my way to watch that one again. I'm going to have to, I'm not going to watch the DVD though. I'm going to dig out the videotapes and watch that one.
Yeah, I still got the videotape of it here.
Yeah, it's just awesome. Now, my favorite shoot interviews, other than Al Snow, I'm rather partial to those, would be Tommy Rich, RF Video, which is just fucking hilarious. Tommy Rich is just the man. He's just so funny. The RVD shoot from 97 and the Jack Victory. Jack Victory is my favorite shoot interview ever.
Yeah. He was another one of those guys. He was in World Class. He was in Mid-South or UWF. He was everywhere that was of interest to me.
WCW and then ECW.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, they also, that was, you know, an older one. So they spliced in matches and shit. They had the six-man barbed wire match with the Fantastics and Terry Taylor against
Sheepherders.
Sheepherders and Jack Victory, you know, and that was just great, you know, and Jack is just fucking awesome. I need to watch that one again. That's just a great interview, top to bottom. You know, he just doesn't give a fuck, and, you know, he just lets loose. What'd you think of the – have you seen the RVD from 97 shoot?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's another one where they spliced in some of his Robbie V matches from WCW and –
yeah,
man.
I saw the Underdog Challenge match.
Yep, exactly.
When it Yeah.
Was that him and Pat Rose?
Yes, it was Pat Rose.
There you go. That's a shout out to you, Carl Stern. CarlStern.com. We're talking about Pat Rose.
I liked them back then because they took. It was just, not that they got any phone calls of any substance or anything, but when they would take calls from people calling in, do you remember that?
Yeah, that was so funny just because, you know, especially if they ask like a question that's already been asked, you know, like Rob buries them.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny as hell.
Rob's good because he just don't give a shit. He, you know, he's going to just say anything.
It was kind of in character, but it's him, though. He's his character.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll do so good here, and then I'll go work Monday nights. But that was a shoot. That's what made the angle in ECW with him being Mr. Monday Night, you know, and then working on Raw and doing that. It was a shoot. He was ready to get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, you know, it added to it. It was really cool.
Yeah, because he was going to be a part of when they wanted to.
He was supposed to be Glacier.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was supposed to be Glacier.
He's also, I believe he was supposed to be a part when the story got out about Todd Gordon taking guys to WCW. I think he was supposed to be a part of that.
Yep. But Paulie gave him a raise and he stayed. Well, Sabu, he broke his silence. What did you think of his shoot?
I enjoyed it just because we never really heard anything from him. So, and it was, I guess they were trying to play it off like the camera wasn't supposed to be on or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the one with him, and he did one with Candido that I really liked too.
That was the behind closed doors Sabu, where Sabu was talking about his, him and Doug were talking about his matches, over his matches,
uh-huh.
And Candido came in. Well, you mentioned Chris. Chris has done like 3 or 4 shoots, and they've all been brilliant. Even the one where he was clean was really good. All of them were fun. The Smart Mark video one was fun. The couple we did with RF was fun. What did you think of Candido's shoots?
I really enjoyed this because he's been so many places. He's been in so many situations. The stories are good, like the stuff with the Click back in WWF.
Yep.
And obviously the stuff in ECW, when, you know, like, I thought it was interesting, the stuff like Paulie owed him all this money because he put all these airplane tickets on their credit cards and shit and never paid him back. But, yeah, I really liked it because he's a good worker and he's a good talker and he had been a lot of places.
Yeah, he's just, you can't say enough about Candido. He's another one, like Modest. He's a good storyteller.
I had never seen much of him, but aside from the WWF stuff when he first came in. And, you know, he didn't really do much there. I mean, not saying he didn't do much, but wasn't given an opportunity to really show what he could do. But then he came back to ECW, I think, like the November to Remember 96, and he had a match with Mikey Whipwreck, and it was just fucking awesome. I'd never seen him like that because he wasn't allowed to do that shit in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much different.
Though. He was good. The Bodyanas were a fucking awesome team. I mean, with a mechanic like Pritchard and a mechanic like Candido, brother, you can't go wrong with those two.
Yeah, I think the look and everything was just so goofy that nobody really took them seriously.
Well, at least the hardcores did. I did. I loved them.
Yeah.
You know, the matches they had with Furnace and LaFon were brilliant.
And I like this is the 95 Survivor Series. I think this is the first time I ever saw the Top Rope Powerbomb with him and Jannetty.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
And, yeah. And I'm pretty, that, obviously, that's probably where you got it from because he used it every chance to end.
Well, we mentioned Candido, Tammy Sitch, Sonny.
Yes.
Wow. Wow is all I have to say. She came out about Michaels and, you know, the shit sandwich and you know, and all that crazy stuff. That was just a jaw-dropping, you know, interview. I was just in awe and shock. And, you know, and that's just one that needed to be filmed, no matter what the price, no matter what had to be done. It just had to be filmed. What did you think of that one?
I thought it was great. And I mean, in the stuff like when they started getting into how Chris died and stuff, you know, that was really sad because nobody wants to watch a woman cry like that. But I mean, you know, it's something you had to ask. And but yeah, I enjoyed it. She's for someone that was so young, she did so much that, you know, they just made for a really good shoot.
She was the diva.
Yeah.
You know, all these chicks in the Knockout Division, TNA, and all these WWE divas, they owe everything to Sunny. She was the diva back in the day. She laid.
I was happy to finally see her get back in shape last year.
Yeah, she's looking really good, and you know she's doing.
I think I enjoyed the shoot with her and Francine more than her solo ones. Just because.
Yeah, that was good. That face-off was fun. That was fun stuff. Well, we brought up the face-off concept. The first one, which was Sullivan and Raven, I think.
Honky Tonk and Raven.
Yeah, it was Honky Tonk and Raven was the first.
Yeah.
That one was good. The second one with Honky Tonk, New Jack, and Iron Sheik was a clusterfuck.
Yeah, I've had enough of the Iron Sheik, to be honest with you.
I've had enough of New Jack.
Him too.
You know, I mean.
But he just rants and raves about killing somebody and God knows what else. And Honky Tonk at least a little bit more subdued.
Yeah.
I always like listening to him anyway.
Honky? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His shoots were good. I don't have a problem with kicking him in the nuts. That's good stuff.
I'm hoping they bring him in with this thing they're doing with Santino on Raw. It's got to be leading to something like that.
It has to be. It's probably, I think it's going to lead to WrestleMania, and they're going to put Honky in the Hall of Fame, I think. They should. How can you not have him in there?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think he's mentioned a bunch of times that they've asked him, but I don't know. I think it's the whole Legends deal or something. He doesn't want to sign his name over or something.
He doesn't want to sign anything over and, you know, lose dates or whatever, and you know, because he's still working rather regularly, you know, so he doesn't want to lose anything. But
yeah.
Jamie Dundee and the PG-13 shoots, what more do I have to say? My dear God. Man.
My bugger was funny.
Just unbelievably funny. I had Jamie on my show, and, you know, that's still probably my second favorite next to the Al Snow. It's just insane. That guy is just a nut. you know, New Jack just, you know, goes off and buries everybody, yada, yada, yada.
The early ones with New Jack were better.
Yeah. How about the Good Man shoots?
He was a little bit more subdued in the early ones.
How about the Sandman shoots? I watched the first three today, and I'm about to watch the fourth. These are just him by himself. They were just fun.
He's smarter than people give him credit for, I think.
Yeah,
He's really intelligent.
Well, how about the ROH straight shooting Raven and Sandman?
I liked the first one, and the second one I didn't care for.
Yeah, the second one was kind of bleh. You know,
I like the ones that have more to do with like actual wrestling stories and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like a good rat story as much as the next person. I don't like 2 hours of them.
Oh, dude, the best rat story in a shoot ever. The ROH straight shooting with Jim Mitchell.
He's banging a
rat in a hotel room wearing the Mortis mask. That's the best. That is the best. My God. The funny thing is I can picture it, too.
He was a good interview.
Oh, man. You know, I'm really surprised that Jim Mitchell never made it up to New York.
Yeah.
In the hell can you not find a spot for that guy?
Well, he'd just end up like Armando Estrada or somebody. Brought him for a manager and then, you know, they don't have managers anymore.
Well, I'm going to ask the trivia question again. Who conducted the first ever official shoot interview and who was it with? 347-215-7946. I will give away a bunch of DVD masters. So call in and give me the answer. Now, my favorite quote ever from a shoot interview is from the Axel Rotten 1997 shoot interview, where he says he liked superstar Billy Graham and he called him the innovator of steroids. That was the greatest quote ever. Do you have a favorite quote from a shoot that just sticks in your mind? And
I have, this is more funny than anything, the Rock and Roll Express shoot. You've seen that one, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And Ricky Morton, he's talking about how shitty his look is. He said, my look's so bad, I could fall in a barrel of titties, come out with a dick in my hand. I'd never heard that before. I was laughing at, oh, gosh. And that was funny.
Man, that's good. That's good stuff.
I think I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I think the king of the shoot interview is probably Jim Cornette.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. There,
I mean,
there
he can come out with as many as, he's got a bunch of them out, but I mean, I could listen to all of them all day. He's just the best talker and
ever.
Yes. Did you ever see any of those Fan Week things he did?
Oh yeah, from Smoky Mountain. Yeah, those
yes.
were good.
When I moved to Dallas, I had those tapes, and for some reason, and I don't know what happened, I lost them while I was moving. But I had two of them.
Yeah, they were cool. Did you have the heel one from 94, the heel barbecue?
No, I had one where they were by the pool eating pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And the one where they were sitting in that room and Jim's got that big red shirt and little red shorts on.
Oh, man, brutal. That was brutal.
I did get to see the Dairy Queen Massacre, though.
Oh, that was fun. that was just insane. That was just crazy. That's up on YouTube, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So
I had got a video of it. I had a video of it. I'd ordered from RF Video. It had like, it was something like stuff that was never supposed to happen or shit like that. It was the one. Do you remember when Axel Rotten and all those ECW guys took over the indie show?
Yeah.
And because they weren't getting paid, and they just went out there and fucked around and shit like that. It had that on there, and it had a bunch of other stuff on there.
Yeah, that was a J.R. Benson and Ron Head exclusive.
And I think Jericho and Lance Storm were there, too.
Yeah, they were in the car.
Yeah, he was the first one to... Jericho says, this looks like a fucking comedy bus to you, and that girl's giving him a runaround. And I think Candido and Tammy were in there when that was happening. I think they were there ordering food, and Jim Cornette sticks his head in there, starts cussing this girl.
Man, that was just unbelievable.
He's going to have a good shoot interview when he ends up leaving TNA.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, that's going to be like four discs, Ultimate Insiders, you know, with Dr. Keith, like 14 hours or whatever. Okay, so who has not filmed a shoot that you would like to see do one? Where they completely blow kayfabe away. I mean,
Paul Heyman would be a great one, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too.
He'd be at the top of the list, I think.
Because
he's never really done it.
Rob threw the bank at him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, I'm just not going to do it. You know.
I'm sure Gabe tried too, huh?
Yeah, everybody did, I'm sure. Now that Ric Flair's being done, Maybe the Undertaker out of character, I think, would be fun.
Yeah. And I think on the deal that Flair has, he can't do another shoot interview for a year. It was in the agreement. So this will be the only one for at least a year.
Did you get my PM? My IM? Okay.
Cool. Yes.
Cool. Well,
another good shoot interview subject is Steve Corino.
Which one?
I enjoyed all of them. I thought the first one was funny as hell.
Yeah, that was great.
You didn't learn much about him, but the way he kept talking about how he's in Mid-South Wrestling and held the Louisiana title and bullshit like that, and it was really good. And I like the one they did a couple more with RF. They did one right when he got out of jail. You remember that?
Yeah.
And they went through all that and. I got the straight shooting with him, too. So, but he's always good. He's been a lot of places. So.
The straight shootings with Gabe as the, question guy is horrible. Gabe is just bad.
He's just boring in general.
Well, he sounds like he's talking with a cock in his mouth. But, that's just the way his voice comes off.
It was good when he had Jim Cornette doing them.
Jim Cornette
and Watts were fun.
Brilliant.
Watts is another. He's in the top. My favorite shoot interview is Bill Watts.
Yeah, that was good, too. The Cornette-Heenan ones were great. The third volume was awesome, where they were in Cornette's study, where you get to see all the pictures and everything. That was good stuff right there.
Yeah, I saw, and on that first Cornette shoot interview, they went in the wrestling room we had.
Yep.
And, he had all his old wrestling magazines and programs and shit. It still had the coat from when Paul Heyman cracked him with the phone on TV. It got blood all over it. During the Midnight Express angle.
Oh, good stuff. That's, we can do a whole show talking about Cornette's work.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is just brilliant. We'll have to have Carl Stern on. Because I took care of Carl, and I got him a 6-disc very best of Midnight Express DVD set that was put together by Cornette himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just an insane
cool
set. We could talk about that for hours at a time. But, Mr. Couturier, we are going to wrap up. We got about 2 minutes to go.
All right.
So, you got any plugs?
Not right now.
Okay, if you want to get any of Chris's hard work here, audio-wise, you'll have to sign up $9.99 a month at 4wonline.com. You get the Observer online every week, which is awesome. You get the Figure Four Weekly online, which is awesome. You get back issues usually once a week of the Observer, which is good stuff. They're just past 91 where Flair was fired, and that's some good stuff. A lot of audio content as well. Well, Chris, thanks for coming on, brother. It was a pretty mellow show this week.
One thing I want to plug, if you go to pwinsider.com, I've done a couple of compilations that are free over there on that site. So anybody can check those out if they just want some free audio.
What are they?
They're, the guys, they did a bunch of, leading up to WrestleMania, they did a bunch of reviews talking about the events, and I just took, made a greatest matches compilation with them talking about just, the best matches from all the shows. So that's over there. And, that's all that's over there.
Cool. All right, Couturier, thank you for your time, brother. We'll have to have you on again. We can have Carl on, and we can discuss the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette.
Works for me.
Cool. All right, brother. Thanks for coming on, and have a nice evening, and I will
talk
Alrighty. To you soon.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Bye.
All right, that was Figure4Online.com's audio guru, Chris Couturier. We're going to wrap it up. Remember, check out our sponsors, WrestleWarehouse.com and FogCityWrestling.com. You can get our archives at rubberguardradio.com and blogtalkradio.com/rubberguardradio, myspace.com/rubberguardradio. We will talk to you guys next week.